Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I went on a walk last night with my daughter Sophia in the neighborhood. She was on roller skates, I was in my sandals, so Jonathan was on his scooter. And she was, and I were talking about our day yesterday. Got to go to the movie Sully. I did with our church family. It was fun. Debbie Sullenberger, his cousins with Captain Sully, the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson. And the best line, by the way, real quick, in the movie was the wife and Captain Sully were on the phone together. And she says, "I didn't know how many cousins you have," after the crash and the fame of everything. Anyway, Sophia says to me, "Dad, you like writing sermons?" Because she knew I did that yesterday too. I said, "Yeah, I do. I love them. I mean, that's part of my life as a pastor. You write and think about sermons. Sometimes it's challenging." I was thinking about today's text. "Sometimes it's easy, but I do enjoy it. There's great joy from it." And she goes, "Well, what's tomorrow's about?" And I said, "Well, it's the parable of the dishonest manager." And she goes, "Oh, I like that one." And I said, "Really? You like that one?" I said, "Why?" She goes, "I don't know, but I do. I like that one." I said, "Okay, so what?" I, you know, prompted a little bit. "Well, what is it about? I want to see if she remembers it." And she says, "Well, I kind of remember it. Just give me a little bit, and I'll tell you that that's right or wrong." I said, okay, good." I said, "Well, there was a manager, and he was dishonest. So what's the parable about?" She goes, "Be honest?" I said, "Nope, definitely not. I was kind of setting her up, wasn't I?" "No, it's not about being honest." "Oh. Well, it's about being good." I said, "Nope, not this parable." She said, "Oh, okay. Well, what is it about, Dad?" I said, "I think you're going to have to listen to the sermon tomorrow." We talked about it, didn't we? So it's a tough one. A tough one, indeed. A challenging sermon. One of those harder ones to write. Why? Well, let me try to give you today the principles of dishonest stewardship. And maybe we'll see where this parable is going. The principles of dishonest stewardship. That's what we're supposed to think about. That's what's in the text. This manager was a dishonest steward. The first principle I have is borrow and spend now and worry about the consequences later. Good principle for stewardship, right? Borrow and spend now and worry about the consequences later. I think we have some credit card commercials on TV encouraging us to do that, right? Yeah, sure. The principles of bad stewardship. Borrow, spend now. That's what this manager in the text did. He was using his master's possessions, wasting them, and worrying about the consequences later. I think we all do that. We all have taken advantage. If you look, we're taking a Dave Ramsey class right now, a few of us. You look at how much debt people have gained up in this world. A lot of them can't pay it off, are not going to do it fast enough, don't have a good plan. You go, "Oh my, that's not good stewardship." It's probably dishonest that our companies allow us to borrow that much, but nonetheless, it's bad stewardship on our part to borrow that much. What does the Bible say? The borrower is slave to the lender. Many of us will become slaves to those who lend. It's childish, maybe a bit immature, undisciplined. Second principle of dishonest stewardship management says, listen to your inner voice. And I think that inner voice of the dishonest manager in our text today probably said something like this. "That master of mine has so much money, it's a shame. He won't even notice if I just use a little bit of it for something for me." Principle of dishonest management. You're using somebody else's wealth, and you make these excuses about, "Well, they have so much, it doesn't really matter." As if the seventh commandment didn't apply based on how much somebody else has. If you steal against somebody who's got a lot of money, it's not so bad. You steal somebody who's got a little bit of money, that's really bad. No. But that's the principle of dishonest management, is you might think that way. You listen to that inner voice that tempts you and says, "Oh, come on, that wouldn't be so bad. They'll hardly even notice. They won't even see it missing." And maybe that's what the dishonest manager did too, thinking, "I got charge of these possessions and this possessions, and I'm the one managing the books. So flop, flip, flop, who knows? Nobody will really notice." And when caught, and here's the next principle of dishonest management, when you're caught, when you're notified that you're going to be called on the carpet to give an account of your management, The third principle is be shrewd. Be wise. Use proper judgment and think about the consequences and think about how you're going to get caught and think about something you can do to make it not so bad. Be sharp powers of judgment. Slash, slash, slash. That's what this dishonest master had in his mind. He said, I'm going to slash the people who owe my master money so that when I get fired, they'll still love me and will welcome me into their houses. Shrewd. Because it's all about, and this is the fourth principle of dishonest management, it's all about escaping the wrath to come. That's what it's all about. You don't want to get too bad into trouble. So try to avoid the worst possible scenario by your shrewdness. And Jesus, in our text, oddly commends this model. And one has to say, what? Sophia, last night, when I kept saying, no, it's not about being honest, she goes, what? What? And did you say what when you heard the text today? What? If you did, good. Because Jesus has you right where he wants you. If you flip-flop this model, and that's what Jesus did, and you change the characters around a little bit, and you see it through the light of the gospel, all of a sudden, this parable takes on new meaning. Now it's not somebody else, but you who are the manager, the dishonest manager. And the master is not a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett or someone with a lot of cash, but it's God, isn't it? Now let's apply our principles to this. Recognize, first of all, that you have to borrow and spend someone else's wealth in order to live and work in this world. You have to. You are all on borrowed capital, aren't you? For your master made heaven and earth. Did you do that? Is it yours? No. God, who created all things, is borrowing out, lending his life and lending things to you that you might use them. You're a steward. You're the manager. God created heaven and earth. It is a fallen world, and so dishonest managers, all of us, are going to be working the fields. Second, listen not to the inner voice, but Jesus would have us listen to the external word that says, God, the Master, has so much forgiveness that it would be a shame for you not to use it and take advantage of it. Christ died and rose for a purpose. To build up something for you. A house that you can live in forever. He died to take away sins, to give you the forgiveness of sins. He has a plenty of it. He said it is finished. He's got more than enough. He proved it when he distributed the fish and had all sorts of bread left over and fish. Oh my goodness, more than enough. Take advantage, people. Take advantage. He's got so much, it would be a shame if you didn't. And when caught, notified of your master's return and a demand of a full accounting for your life, be shrewd. Go out and forgive the debts of others, especially the ones owed to your master. The wisest thing anyone can do is to convince others that they owe God less than what they owe. In fact, let's go further. The wisest stewardship that you can do in this world is to convince others that they owe God nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because God created heaven and earth. He is God. You can't do anything for God that he couldn't do for himself. It's all borrowed capital. The difference are those who see this life through the forgiveness of sins and have thanksgiving in their hearts for who God is and what he's done for them. And live in this world as a forgiven sinner, a manager who sees life totally differently now, as a new creature. And it is indeed all about escaping God's wrath to come. And even God wants that for you. In fact, he said it so And our epistle reading today that Chuck read, he desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Faith in that saves. Faith alone, not works, nothing to give God. Faith in that saves. Therefore, what kind of stewards ought you to be? Well, you ought to be a borrower. You can't but borrow from God, but do it with thanksgiving. Be a saver. Save others by sharing the good news of God's, of Christ's forgiveness that is for all the world. You could be a saver, someone who helps save others through that message that you owe God nothing, that he has forgiven you completely of all your sins. You owe our master nothing. It's the best kind of stewardship at all is to be a saver, not a savior, a saver. And the best kind of steward is also an inheritor. Through faith, through the forgiveness of sins, through mercy, through God's promised Holy Spirit that goes into our hearts and makes us cry out, Abba, Father, we learn that we do have a God who wants to give his children good things, give them an inheritance that will last forever, that will receive them into eternal places, dwellings, eternal life. Therefore, the best stewardship principle of all, I would suggest today, is John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The best stewardship, life, gift, principle, live by it. It's already yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.